remember some years ago, my wife was wallpapering a room in our house, and as I went into that room, I noticed that she had taken a piece of blue string and had made a plumb line down the wall and had snapped that line onto the wall. And I said to her, I said, "Sweetheart, why are you doing that?" She said, "Well, you know, honey, normally there's a little variation in these walls, and if you don't have a straight line to begin with, by the time you get all the way around the room and come back to this area, you'll find that the wallpaper is almost crooked if you don't start with a straight line." Pretty smart wife, by the way, I would say. I didn't know that. I said, "Well, that sounds good to me." And sure enough, when she got all the way around to the other side of the room, it matched up perfectly. Why? Because she had started with the right line. She had started in the right direction. You know, many times in our lives, just a little decision, a little wrong decision, will cause our lives to end up on a crooked plane rather than in a way that would please the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham from the countryside to a new and promised land. And it is here in Genesis 12 and 13 where we first hear about his nephew, a man by the name of Lot. Lot had traveled with Abraham from his desert residence near Babylon all the way across the desert unto the land of Canaan. Throughout Lot's life, however, he made worldly and wrong choices. Lot continuously chose the way of the world, even though his uncle Abraham prayed for him. Even though his uncle Abraham at times rescued him from tragedy and difficulty, Lot would constantly go back to the way of the world. His decisions were normally not large decisions to disobey God at first. They were normally incremental in their nature, but over time they began to add up, and the direction of his life was not the direction that God had chosen. I want you to notice with me this morning some truths about Lot's life that I pray will help us to avoid making wrong decisions from this time forward. Every one of us can look back to yesterday and last year and last decade and say, "That decision did not help me in the end." But today, we can, by the grace of God, hit a reset button and make right decisions for the glory of God. Notice, if you would, in chapter 13, and beginning in verse number 10, the Bible tells us here that Abraham and Lot had made a decision that each of them would go a different way once they had reached this promised land, and that their cattle and their servants would be able to habitate in a different area. And in verse 10, it says that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Now notice, if you would, this morning, first of all, Lot's direction. Lot's direction. And as we see Lot's direction in this particular chapter, we see first of all that it was a direction away from a spiritual man. He is not only choosing to go to this well-watered plain, we'll see that in a moment, but he is choosing to separate himself from Abraham. Instead of reconciling their herdsmen, instead of finding a way to make it work, Lot is going to separate himself from Abraham. And we see that in verse number 8. Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren." Abraham was a godly man. Abraham was a man who did not want strife. And so because of his godliness, he offers to Lot this way to go differently from him. But we see that Lot, in taking this direction, is separating himself away from a spiritual man. I want to say this morning that every one of us need godly influences in our lives. Every one of us need to be thankful for the Abrahams in our lives and for the Christian men and women in our lives. And we need to remember that nearness is likeness, and we need to determine to find ourselves fellowshipping with godly people. But this was not Lot's choice. His choice was to separate himself from Uncle Abraham, away from a spiritual man, and secondly, toward a wicked city, toward a wicked city. The Bible tells us here in verses 10 and 11 that he looked down the Jordan Valley. And I think it's interesting to notice that Lot lifts up his eyes and he beholds the plain of Jordan. He sees this lush garden area and he determines that that would be the best place to go. Now, in this valley that Lot was viewing, the valley that now is the place of the Dead Sea, in this particular area, he saw lush gardens, but there were also five small cities in this area. Two of the cities were called Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was intrigued with the opportunity of prosperity and the opportunity of popularity. We'll see that later in our message this morning. I believe that Lot was a man who was looking for the way of prosperity. He was a man who was looking for the way of popularity. We see him later on in the passage sitting in the gate of Sodom. And I would say this morning that many men will set a wrong direction for their life by focusing too strongly on their careers or on their personal desires in life. And when Lot began to focus on the well-watered plain and on the cities in that plain, when Lot focused on his dreams and his ambitions, the spiritual life of Lot began to go downhill. And so we must learn that Lot's direction, being a direction away from a spiritual man and toward a wicked city, from the very first steps of this direction, he is setting himself up for a spiritual fall. Now notice, not only does Lot look down to this garden area of Jordan, but the Bible also tells us that he pitches his tent toward Sodom. Would you notice this in verse number 12? Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Here we see his life now looking towards the wrong direction, looking in the wrong direction. My friend, we need to recognize that the direction of our life is very, very important. Lot could have said at this time, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm being faithful. I love God. I love Uncle Abraham. Don't talk to me about the direction of my life. That's none of your business. But you know, I believe we can tell from the very direction of Lot's life that he was heading in a wrong way. Now this area, which is now covered by the Dead Sea, is an area that many years ago was studied by archaeologist Melvin Groves from Xenia Seminary. And he found, as he made his studies, that there were several graveyards around these cities with lewd inscriptions on the grave markers and with evidence of fire and brimstone having come down. And we learn from this archaeological study that this area indeed was a very lewd and wicked area. It was not the kind of a place that you would want your family to view. It was not the kind of place that a spiritual man would be intrigued with. But Lot pitched his tent towards that city. He pitched his tent in that direction. His direction was away from a spiritual man. His direction was toward a wicked city. I want you to notice in your notes this morning, or turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night." Now think of that, Psalm 1:1, one of the most profound verses in the Bible. Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. My friend, there is no way that we can be happy in the Lord if we're standing in the counsel of the ungodly, if we're looking in the way of the sinner. And we see Lot to be a prime example of that. His direction was toward the wickedness of his day. Lot was standing in the way of sinners. He had chosen to dwell in the midst of sinners. And my friend, every one of us are going to dwell in a sinful world and work with people who do not believe in God. But there's something more here in Lot's life. He was intrigued by it. He was influenced by it. And the direction of his life was a life that was heading now away from godly Abraham and toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want you to notice that at first, the direction issue may seem like a small issue. Sometimes you're going to hear preachers preach, and you're going to hear parents lecture, and you're going to think that just a big deal is being made out of nothing. But I want you to mark in your mind that direction is a big deal. The very first few steps away from godliness are very sad steps indeed. And Lot's direction was a terrible mistake in this particular time of his life. He stood in the way of sinners. It was a direction that would not please God. I think of many men who have told me about that first drink. They just wanted to have just that first drink to kind of help them to blend in with the crowd. Or they just watched a few movies of questionable nature. Or they just had a few words that were not good words for a Christian to hear or to say. And soon the companionship developed. And soon the wrong lifestyle developed. And oh, the tremendous tragedy that comes into a family and into a life that is heading in the wrong direction. Now, this direction for Lot, ultimately, meant not only the loss of his wealth, but it meant also the loss of the souls of his children. His own children, his own wife, would lose her life because of the direction that Lot took. Men, may I challenge you, as I challenge myself this morning, that we need to be careful in the very direction that we pitch our tent. We need to be careful that we would guard our hearts and our lives, and that we would be sure that our homes are pitched in the right direction, that we would not put prosperity or a raise or a career development ahead of pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lot was looking at the things of this world only, and the direction of Lot's life was now being set, and it was a direction that would affect his entire family. Notice, if you would, now Lot's devotion. Not only the direction, but now the devotion of his life. And turn, if you would, to chapter 14. And I want you to notice, if you would, in chapter 14, we're going to read verse number 12. But as you look there, let me give you a little background. In Genesis chapter 14, there are kings who come down, a nomadic type of king, with a small bands of armies gathered together. And they come to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they pillage these cities, and they take captives with them. Among the captives is Lot. Lot is now living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, back in chapter 13, he had just pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was just standing in the way of the sinners. But by the time we come to chapter 14, he is now dwelling in Sodom. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 12. It says, "And they took Lot, Abram's sons, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Now, they take Lot, Abram's brother's son, and they depart from the city. I want you to notice in verse number 12, Lot's devotion for the city. Lot's devotion for the city. You see, he's not just pitching his tent now towards the city, but the Bible declares that he's dwelling in the city. Here we see then in chapter 14 that Lot is living in Sodom. The simple direction of his life has changed the devotion of his life. I want to say that again. The simple direction of his life has changed the devotion of his life. Now, you and I will see in a moment what kind of a city Sodom was. I want to say to you this morning, there is not a right-thinking family, a right-thinking parent, that would have ever had their children to be raised in Sodom. But when we come to chapter 14, that is exactly what Lot is doing. Why? Because he had established a direction that clouded his reasoning, that quenched the power of God's Spirit moving upon his heart, that was in rebellion to Abraham. And now, because of this, we see that Lot is living in the city. And when the war came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and when the kings attacked Sodom and Gomorrah, we see that this had an effect on Lot and on his family. Lot was taken into captivity. Now, the Bible records in verses 13 through 15 that Abraham takes his servants and pursues after Lot to rescue him. Verse 15 says, Or verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Well, I'll tell you, Abraham was a fine uncle, wasn't he? And here Lot is taken into captivity, and Abraham goes into the area of captivity to rescue, to extradite his nephew named Lot. Now, the amazing thing to me is that after Lot is rescued by Abraham, instead of going back with Abraham, he goes right back to the city of Sodom. Right back to the city of Sodom. Like a dog returning to its own vomit, he found his way back to this wicked city. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. And sin dulls the conscience. And so Lot has a devotion for the city. I submit to you, secondly, that Lot had a dedication to this city. Lot was dedicated to this city. Notice over in chapter 19, please. Chapter 19 and verse 1, as we see mention of Lot once again in the Scriptures. Genesis 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now here we see Lot, he's been rescued by Abraham, he's back here in this city of Sodom, and the Bible tells us in this verse that he is sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now many of the ancient Palestinian cities had a gate, and outside or along the edge of the gate there were carved stone benches, and the prominent people of the city, chamber of commerce types today we would call them, city leaders would sit at that gate. They would see the caravans of various types of business people or merchants coming in, and they would take note of who is coming into that city. And here we see that Lot is amongst the elite of the city of Sodom. His life in the world sense had prospered. He was becoming known. He was prospering. But may I say again, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, there is something more to this life than prospering in the eyes of man. And that something more is obeying Almighty God. Lot may have been viewed as a great success in Sodom, but he was failing miserably in his walk with Almighty God. He was in a place of prominence, yes, but notice secondly, he was in a place of wickedness. Now, I want you to see how wicked this place was. The Bible tells us in verse 2, and he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, whether Lot realized that these were angels or not, we are not told. But one thing is sure, he's trying to get them into his house quickly where they could rest and then be on their way the next day. Verse 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into his house and entered into the house. And he made them a feast and did make unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now I want you to notice what type of men these are. These men who come to Lot's house want to debase the visitors of Lot's house. These were the vilest of men. These were men who had turned from the very law and nature of God. These were men who could not reproduce their own kind, and so they must recruit and they must find themselves new partners in sin. And so they come to Lot's house and they're banging on the door, these men of Sodom. And they're saying, where are the men? Where are the men that just came in? We want those men. We want to know them. The word know in this verse implies a physical, sexual type of knowledge. They wanted to have illicit, vile, wicked relationships with these men. We see in verse number 8 that Lot attempts to protect the visitors from these perverted residents of Sodom. And notice how Lot's thinking has become so demented. He says, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now notice that Lot has become so demented in his own thinking that he offers his virgin daughters unto these wicked men in Sodom. I say again, nearness is likeness. I say again, you cannot live in Sodom without having Sodom affect the way that you think. I say again, as Christians today, we must gird up the loins of our mind and we must walk in a circumspect manner, recognizing that Satan will try to take our thinking and cause dementia to take place so that we would rationalize even to become involved in wicked sin. Certainly, Lot was not thinking clearly at this point in his life. He offers his own virgin daughters to them. And I want you to take a note as you read and as you study, perhaps on your own this week, Genesis 19, that the act of sodomy has always been deemed a wicked act by Almighty God. It is an act that is clearly in the Scriptures shown to us to be an act that is against His will and against His word and a sign of utter perversion in any society. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22 states it this way, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Now we see Lot had become devoted to a city that stood up for the rights of this type of living. Lot had become devoted to a city whose morals were gone, whose love for God was gone. And Lot was a leader in this city. A city that whenever a new man would come into the city, men would gather around and wanted to know them according to the Word of God. You know, this past week I heard a political candidate on the news during a particular interview. This particular political candidate was declaring his belief that if he was to be elected, he would propagate and he would advocate the legalizing of same-sex marriages. Oh, he was so proud of himself for having that as a part of his platform. And I want to say this morning very clearly as we read this passage here in the book of Genesis, that while the church must be prayerful in our hopes for every sinner to be saved, and while we must condemn sin and yet love the sinner, the truth of the matter is that we as a nation are only hastening the judgment of Almighty God whenever we as a nation would put our approval on something or on someone who declares these acts to be legal and right, who declares something which God states is an abomination to be normal in society. Our nation is begging the judgment of God if we would elect someone who would legalize that type of lifestyle. God does not condone it. God does not want us to legalize it. God Almighty says it is an abomination. Now, some of you work in places. Some of you are told by your unions that it's normal, that it's right. You are told in your training that we must have a sensitivity towards all different cultures and so forth. But I want to tell you something, friend. It is time in America that we lift up Christ above culture. It is time in America that we lift up doctrine above diversity. It is time in America that we recognize that while the social norm is something that may be accepted in society, the Word of God is still the standard for the Christian. And oh, that we would make right choices in these days. Lot did not make right choices. You know, the tragedy is that many professing Christians are going to make wrong choices in the days to come, even in the way they vote. You know why? They are not in churches that are preaching the Word of God without compromise. They know not the difference between right and wrong. And they are pitching their tents towards Sodom because they have not been warned. Their direction is wrong and their decisions are wrong because they are not living according to the Word of God. I want you to notice something else in Genesis chapter 19. Notice Genesis chapter 19, what it says in verse number 7. And I want every one of you to recognize this is a tragic situation. I want you to recognize that Lot was raised up in what we would call today a Christian family. He was raised up around prayer and around the things of God. But the Bible says in verse number 7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Would you notice that? Lot refers to these men as brethren, as his brethren. You know, it's a sad day when a professing Christian has closer ties with the wicked men and women of this world than with the brothers and sisters at the local church. And we see here he had known them as brethren. And so we see that Lot's direction now has become Lot's devotion. At first, his life was just sort of pointing over there. Now his life is embracing everything that's going on in Sodom. These are his brethren. I say again to you today, what direction is the tent of your life headed? What things are you contemplating? What things are you condoning? Who are your good friends today? You and I must consider this morning. We see Lot's direction. We see Lot's devotion. I want you to notice with me this morning, Lot's destination. Lot's destination. Notice in chapter 19 and verse number 14. And rather, let's notice back to verse 12, chapter 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Now, here in verses 12 and 13, we see the angels telling Lot, Lot, this city's going to be destroyed. And if you have any loved ones in this city, you better tell them to get out. And so Lot hears that. And in verse number 14, notice what it says. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. Please note that phrase. But he seemed, this Lot, to his son-in-laws, he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. Now I want you to notice the destination of Lot's life. Where did this little direction at the beginning take him? First of all, his family respect was lost. His family respect was lost. They would no longer listen to his message. They would no longer listen to his message because his life had spoken more loudly. And here in this verse number 14, they mock him. Lot seemed as one that mocked unto his sons. Now in their minds, their dad was a hypocrite. One minute he's saying to the men of Sodom, hey brethren, how you doing? The next minute he's saying to his sons, we've got to get out of here. There's a God in heaven who's going to judge this city. And I can imagine that his sons-in-laws are thinking, what is all this about God all of a sudden? What did Lot do? Go to church? What is he all of a sudden? Some kind of a religious man? And all of a sudden, when they needed to hear him the most, they wouldn't hear him because his life had caused his family to lose respect. They viewed their father as an hypocrite. Now, friends, it is vitally important that we learn from this passage this morning. Someone said that a hypocrite can be defined as someone who complains when there is too much sex and violence on his VCR. And there's a lot of hypocrisy in our lives today. And we need to just stop and recognize that if we really want to have a weighty voice with our family, with our loved ones, then we need to back it up by a consistent life living for the Lord. We need to say, Lord, help me to live for you each and every day. Richard Halverson was the United States Senate chaplain for some time, and he was to meet with some senators and congressmen a few years back, and they were going to discuss the matter of prayer in the public schools, and they were trying somehow to reinstate the right to have public prayer, and many of them were upset that this was something no longer available to their children. And Dr. Halverson spoke to the senators and congressmen who had gathered, and he said, gentlemen, let me ask you this question. How many of you have prayed with your children this month outside of the church house? And not one single one of those men could raise their hands. You see, while they were so concerned about prayer in the public school, and thank God for that, they had not been practicing prayer in their own homes. And you see, when it comes to Christians today, many times this type of hypocrisy is very evident. And Lot, who represents, I believe, the backslidden carnal Christian, was a man who, when it really came time to give a spiritual message to his family, they wouldn't hear that message because his life had gone a completely different way. And so we see the destination of Lot. First of all, family respect was lost. Secondly, family friends were lost. The friends of his family were lost. Notice, if you would, in verse 24, the Bible says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all of the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." These were the brethren of Lot. These were the men he should have been giving gospel tracts to. These were the men he should have been inviting to church. These were the men he should have been standing up and saying that your lifestyle is not pleasing to God Almighty and you need to come to God and be saved. But Lot had not done that. Lot had hid his light. And instead of witnessing, he had condoned their lifestyle. Well, now these friends were lost. Their lives were destroyed by fire and brimstone. The Bible says in Psalm 11 and verse 6, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Now, archaeologists from the American School of Research at Jerusalem did a study several years ago. And as they went back to this Dead Sea region, they said that they found that when the explosion of gases took place at Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a stratum of salt that was mixed with sulfur. And as it ruptured, it carried up heavenward and then rained down upon this whole region, salt mixed with sulfur and an asphalt-like ingredient heated to a high degree, rained down on this place. And they find evidence of it in their diggings. To be sure, there were cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And to be sure, these cities were rained upon with fire and brimstone. And the family friends of Lot were lost in that tragedy. Now, my friend, I want to remind you that there is coming on this earth a tragic day. We would call it the Battle of Armageddon. We would remind you this morning that in the Valley of Megiddo, there is going to be a great gathering of soldiers in the last day. And that in that last day, there will be tremendous, tremendous battle as God brings judgment finally upon this earth toward the end of the 7-year tribulation. And all of those who reject Christ during this age of grace, during this church age, are going to find during the time of tribulation that there is going to be death and tragedy and ultimate destruction. I'm saying this morning, we're not doing our friends a favor when we don't witness to them. When we, like Lot, just condone their lifestyle or just say, well, you know, whatever, it's an alternative lifestyle for them, whatever, whatever. But we need to go to this lost world with a message of love and compassion and invite them to Jesus Christ while there is time. I'm saying to you this morning that Lot lost the respect of his family, number one. Secondly, he lost all of those so-called friends. Thirdly, I want you to notice that his family members were lost. What a tragedy. Lot's own wife was lost in this situation. I want you to see in verse 26, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Now, if you take time to read this story, you'll discover that the angels had said, "Lot, we want you to leave this city. We want you to take as many of your family as you can. And on your way out, Lot, whatever you do, don't look back." Looking back to Sodom would be a way of saying, I wish I could still be there. I miss Sodom. I miss my possessions. I miss my prosperity. I miss my prominence. And the angel said, Lot, if you're repentant, then don't look back. You just keep going up under the cave at Zoar. And yet we see in the Word of God here in verse 26 that Lot's wife looked back. Her sin was the sin of unbelief. She had not believed the Word of God. And so she looked back. And the Bible records for us that she became a pillar of salt. Luke 17:32 is one of the shorter verses in the Bible. Luke 17:32 simply says this, "Remember Lot's wife." I'd like you to say that with me. Ready? Begin. Remember Lot's wife. One more time. Why would God say that? God wants us to be reminded of the fact that when we turn to Jesus and we begin to follow Him in true discipleship, we're not going to be always wishing we were back in that world. But we're going to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to truly remember Lot's wife. We have a godly man on our staff here at Lancaster Baptist School. And some years ago, he left a very successful career and came on board to begin teaching in our Christian school. And the other day, my daughter, Christine, said to me, she said, "Dad, do you know what Brother Coates' life verse is?" A lot of our church members have a favorite life verse. I said, "No, sweetheart, what is Brother Coates' favorite life verse?" And she said, "His favorite life verse is Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife." Now, Brother Coates has a peculiar sense of humor, and I thought to myself, why would that be his life's verse? Brother Danny Coates, remember Lot's wife. And I contemplated that, and as I began to study this, I know why that would be his life's verse. Because what Brother Coates is saying is this: I want to follow my Lord, and I don't want to ever look back to that career. I don't want to ever look back to that old life. I don't want to ever regret anything that I ever traded for serving the Lord. I want to remember Lot's wife, and I want to remember that when she looked back to that old worldly lifestyle, she was utterly, utterly destroyed. You know what some of us who believe in Jesus Christ ought to do today? You know what some of us who really want to be faithful until that trumpet sounds ought to do today? We ought to remember Lot's wife. We ought to look steadfastly unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see the destination of Lot. We see that in this story that his family respect was lost. His family friends were lost. His family members were lost. I want you to see finally, his family morals were lost. His family morals were lost. Now notice what it says in verse 30. One reason I know the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't gloss over anything. It just tells it like it is. I want you to see in verse 30, Lot went up unto Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Now get that in your mind. Here's a man who said, "Abraham, this here turf is not big enough for both of us. We've got to find a way to figure out how we can get our cattle taken care of." So Lot was the man who said, "I need more room for my fellas and my cattle." He was the guy who demanded all the extra room. Now, because he pitched his tent toward Sodom, at the end of his life, he is living in a cave in the mountains. My friend, don't let the devil tell you that his way is the best way. He's living in a cave in Zoar. Notice verse 31. And the firstborn, speaking of his daughter, said unto the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the seed of our father." Now, those of you who've studied a little bit on this particular passage know that it is from this union that the Moabite nation was formed. And that was the daughter's thinking, perhaps that they would continue on the line of their father. Whatever their thoughts were, they were obviously perverted in their thinking. They obviously had no moral integrity because of their life in Sodom. And we see them coming now in unto their father in a recorded act of incest. And I want you to notice, my friend, and take note that the use of wine preceding immorality is not new to our generation. And men and women who come under the influence of alcohol are more prone to act in immorality, whether it is in 1800 BC or 2000 AD. And we see here this morning that they come to this place in this cave. Their father is drunken and now commits incest with his own daughters. I want you to see the destination of Lot. Someone says, "Well, Pastor Chapel, it's all right. I'm just missing a little church. I'm just watching a few bad shows. I'm just listening to a few bad jokes. I'm just having a few wrong friends. I've just pitched my tent towards Sodom. Get off my back. I'm just doing a little bit here. I'm just kind of looking over that way, but I'm still having one foot in the church." I want to submit to you that Lot's direction caused him to have devotion for the wrong things and ultimately brought him to a tragic destination in life where he lost his children, he lost his wife, he lost his friends, he lost everything. Why? Because of one simple wrong choice: to pitch his tent towards Sodom. What a tragic story indeed. Lot's downward slide began with one wrong decision. It was a choice of direction. Perhaps you have made choices that have affected your direction today. And I want to say this, that if you have, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you today.